From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Remembers No More. The text is Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. When we know the Lord, we receive the forgiveness of sins. We know Him as the God of grace, passing by our transgressions. What a joyful discovery is this! But how divinely is this promise worded? The Lord promises no more to remember our sins. Can God forget? He says He will, and He means what He says. He will regard us as though we had never sinned. The great atonement so effectually removed all sin that it is to the mind of God no more in existence. The believer is now in Christ Jesus as accepted as Adam in his innocence. Yea, more so. For He wears a divine righteousness, and that of Adam was but human. The great Lord will not remember our sins so as to punish them, or so as to love us one atom the less because of them. As a debt when paid ceases to be a debt, even so doth the Lord make a complete obliteration of the iniquity of His people. When we are mourning over our transgressions and shortcomings, and this is our duty as long as we live, let us at the same time rejoice that they will never be mentioned against us. This makes us hate sin. God's free pardon makes us anxious never again to grieve Him by disobedience.
I'm sorry.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Revelation of the Wrath of God. In chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of the gospel of Christ as being the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Then in verse 17 he said, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. It is the righteousness of God which lies at the heart of this book. Beginning in verse 18, Paul turns his attention to the wrath of God against sin and sinners. This is a very unpopular subject in our day, yet it is of the utmost importance to understand the basis for God's wrath in order to see the necessity for the gracious means of reconciliation with God as revealed in the rest of Romans. Sinners must grasp the heinousness of sin and God's righteous hatred of it, before they can begin to see their hopeless condition and their need of a Savior. Now to continue this message, The Revelation of the Wrath of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
We must understand the need for the gospel, and that's what Paul is laying down here. Unless we grasp the dire state of the world, unless we grasp the terrible need, we will never properly appreciate the glorious gospel message, nor will we ever adequately present that message to the world as Paul the Apostle did. So we're going to look at this passage that begins his treatment of the need of the world. You'll notice that verse 18 begins with the word for, carries the meaning of because. Now, notice that connection. It's very important. go back to verse 16, you'll see he starts it with a 4. Verse 17 starts with a 4. Verse 18 starts with a 4. Verse 19 starts with a because. Verse 20 starts with a 4. Verse 21 starts with a because. You'll notice that Paul is deliberately stringing this argument all together. There, I have already commented on the logic that he uses as he develops the argument here. And while we may draw divisions in the book, we may analyze it in particular ways, remember, this is an integrated argument, and Paul is stringing these things very closely together. His thoughts are like so many pearls in one string. You can distinguish one from another, but if you separate one from another, then you've broken the whole thing. So our verse 18 begins with 4. It's connecting directly with the 17th verse. Therein, that is, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, or the just by faith shall live. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice the significance of the connection. Verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed. And they're connected. The righteousness of God is revealed so that those who are justified by faith shall live. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against sin. First significance of that is very simple, very clear, that it proves beyond all doubt that the righteousness of God in verse 17 is not the attribute of divine righteousness, but the righteousness that God has provided by the obedience of Christ. If he were speaking of the attribute of righteousness, he couldn't say what he says in verse 18. There's no contrast if verse 17 speaks of the righteous attribute of God, and verse 18 speaks of the wrath of God. They're not in contrast. The wrath of God is an expression of the righteousness of God. This is in contrast. The righteousness of God is revealed over against that, we can say, and indeed the reason for preaching that is the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Now watch this very carefully. In the gospel, God reveals his righteousness. And he's stating, those who are justified by faith shall live. Because, for, the wrath of God is revealed against all sin. What I want to emphasize is that we get into verse 18 here. He's not dealing with any divergent or isolated line of thought. You can't, as I say, break up the line of pearls. What verse 18 says flows directly out of verse 17 and is the reason for the truth of verse 17. What is the message? What is the meaning? It's simply this. This is what I want us to think about tonight. Apart from the justifying righteousness that is revealed in the gospel, all men are hopelessly, irretrievably lost, because the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And that wrath is provoked, never removed, by the actions of men, be they Jews or Gentiles, be they actions of idolatry and immorality, or self-righteous actions of religious ritual. What Paul is saying is, the just by faith in Christ shall live. That's the gospel. Get a grip of it. Let it sink into your heart. Because everybody else is lost. Because outside of that justifying righteousness, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. That's the importance of the connection. And I want us to pursue it tonight as we consider, or perhaps just begin to consider, because again I will hide behind the late Martin Lloyd-Jones's statement that preachers shouldn't know where they're going to end when they start. I certainly have no idea how far I'm going to get tonight. But either we begin to consider or actually get through considering how and when and where and why God reveals his wrath. I want us to think of the reality of the wrath of God here. The wrath of God. Now here is the greatest exposition of the gospel in all the Bible. And how does Paul start it? I want to tell you, he starts it in a way that very few preachers would start it today. He starts it by talking about the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now that is an expression that has perplexed many expositors. Many Orthodox scholars are at pains to point out that the wrath of God does not indicate any violent, raging passion, such as you think of when you think of the wrath of a man. They emphasize that in God, wrath means simply what one has called the punitive displeasure of God, what Charles Hodge called God's punitive justice. It is not an orgy of passion. It is not an outburst of bitterness. It is, again, to quote a great American commentator of the 19th century, it is God's inflexible purpose to visit unatoned sin with punishment. Hodge even uses these words, and they are true words. It is the calm, undeviating purpose of the divine mind which secures the connection between sin and misery. This is the wrath of God. Now, all that is very true as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. You read those definitions of the great theologians, and the men I have been quoting are theologians of the very first order. But you read those and you have the idea that the wrath of God is merely the punitive visitation of God upon man's sin. That's all. In other words, the wrath of God really speaks of the effects. The effects and the essence are all one and the same. You get the impression there is no feeling in God here. This is something cold or clinical. It is something from which God appears to be personally detached. There is no feeling of God in this that I can find in this definition. But let me tell you, as I read God's word, I find that while God is without bodily parts and passions, as our confession of faith rightly says, yet God is not without feeling. And the wrath of God does not merely indicate the effects. It indicates something of a movement in the very mind and will of God. It indicates a feeling in the very depths of the holy nature of God. I know that from what the Bible says. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8 brings two words together dealing with wrath, indignation and wrath. The word indignation surely indicates feeling at its deepest. God's wrath is not some cold, detached thing. Oh, it is just. It is judicially exercised. It is not hindered or it is not sullied by any of the distractions that arise, as in man, from blinding passion. But it is nonetheless the holy revulsion of God's entire being against everything that stands against his holiness. God feels a hatred of sin. It's not just that he exercises a certain course of action against sin. Oh, he does. abides within him. It is a holy hatred against sin and against sinners. God is angry with the wicked every day. And when I turn to the Bible, I discover that the wrath of God is described as something fierce, something fiery, something hot, something that burns. That's the Bible's description of the wrath of God. It's God's own description of his wrath. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 22, he says, "A fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn to the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains." That's God's wrath. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 21, God says, "Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you the fire of my wrath. Ye shall be melted in the midst thereof." Verse 31, "Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." So, this expression, the wrath of God, speaks of a holy revulsion in the nature of God against every contradiction of his holiness. Such a revulsion that causes him to punish sin. That's the wrath of God. And it burns with fire to the lowest hell. Of course, liberals and rationalists detest statements like that. To them, the idea of a God who exhibits wrath against his creatures is totally unacceptable. I must say, I am greatly impressed with the humility of these people who can look in the face of God and say, "You must be acceptable to us." There's a day coming when that sort of stupidity will be damned in the pit that gave it birth. And those people are going to realize they were asking the wrong question, not how will God make himself acceptable to me, but how may I be acceptable to him. Liberals tell us that a God who would do this is both harsh and violent. They tell us that the concept of the wrath of God is a hangover from the crude ideas of the Old Testament. That the wrath of God means nothing more than, by a law of nature, there is a connection generally between wrong or foolish actions and suffering. But God doesn't inflict the suffering either in this life or in the life to come. However, all this liberal rationalist nonsense is plain unbelief. According to the Word of God, as Leon Morris has well put it, God is doing something in opposition to sin, not leaving sin to work out its own consequences. It's not just that there is, by a law of nature, a connection between foolish things and wrong things and suffering. You get beyond the law of nature and see God is doing something. And that's what Paul is talking about here.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.